This evening we're talking with Jim Belanger at Christie's Campground in Newport, Maine. Jim lives in East Millinocket, Maine with his wife Pat and regularly calls for the Levi Rounders, other Maine square dance clubs, adult continuing education, fun dances, and the New England Convention. Jim is a longtime caller and does a fine job of putting smiles on dancers throughout the dances. We are looking forward to learning more about Jim with our interview. Let's start that today is June 19, 2008. So Jim, why don't you tell me about where you were born and some childhood memories?
I was born in East Millinocket, Maine in 1938, right in the middle of the early part of World War II. Early childhood memories, I remember my father working as a patrol. He'd go out and make sure that there was no lights coming from the windows of the houses in town, so they were afraid the Germans were going to fly over and eventually bomb the United States. Childhood memories of playing with my good friends. Back then we played Army, and after the war we played Cowboys and Indians, and definitely was not square dancing at that time.
What was your first introduction to square dancing? How old were you?
I was 30, Pat was 28, and her mother and father were treasurers of the local club called the Paper Mates, and they kept coming, asking us every September to come and take lessons, and I told her, I said, I don't want to go up and play Ring Around the Rosies with those old people. One year the guys in the neighborhood were going with their wives, so I thought, well, what the heck, I'll try it. I only have to go one night. I got up there and liked it and stayed with it, and early after that I was starting to call.
What year was that?
We started taking lessons in 1968, and I started calling at an amateur caller's night in 69. That's when I took my first chance at calling square dancing.
So you started with amateur night. What did you find appealing about calling?
It lets me bring out the ham in me. I like to show off. I like to be the center of attention. So I thought, I really enjoy calling. It's hard on Pat because she doesn't dance much, but I enjoyed what I was doing. I guess I was selfish.
When you first started calling, who impressed you?
A lot of callers impressed me. Cliff Long, who was a great caller from Mars Hill, Maine, he always wanted to hang around his dance till the end, the last tip, because it was the best one. He figured he'd called his way all night, now it was time for him to have a good time, and it was really a good tip. I stood behind him one night and tried to figure out how he was keeping track of his corner, but it took me a while before I could learn how to sight call. Bonnie Robichaud was an excellent caller. He lived closer. He lived in Mattawamkeag. Our caller was Leo Robinson from Bangor. He was a barber in the Bangor area, and he was lame. He had one lame leg. He used to call sitting down, but he was a great caller.
So was Barney your first mentor for square dancing?
More or less, because he lived closer to us, and I'd call him up and ask him things, and he'd let me call at dances he was calling. I'd call, and he'd come over to me, and he'd say, where'd you get that material? And I said, I read it in a book. He said, throw the book away. He said, you call and be yourself. Just call easy stuff. Just keep them dancing to the beat of the music, and then you'll be able to go on from there. And I thought he was belittling me, but he was helping, really did. He helped me a lot.
What do you remember the most about Barney?
His easygoing way. He did a lot of calling down at a campground on the east coast of Maine called Sunrise Shores, and he really did a fantastic job. Any place he called, he did a fantastic job. He's one of the first callers to do what's now called the advanced program. Back then it wasn't. It was called Hot Hash back then. now it's it has a category for itself, advanced, A1, A2.
Tell me about your first days of square dancing. What stands out?
Square dancing, I guess I liked it from the start because I wasn't very smooth as a waltzer or a jitterbug back, because what we had back in those days. And I found that in square dancing, it wasn't like you had to put your foot, one foot in one spot and the other foot in another spot. And I don't know, I just wasn't smooth as a dancer. But as far as square dancing, I found that it was easy, it was complicated at times, it was challenging at times, and all the time it was fun. And I really enjoyed square dancing. To this day, I don't like the ballroom dance. And I do round dance some, but I'm not very smooth at it.
What is different then, when you started calling with square dancing, compared to square dancing of today?
Crowds. We had humongous crowds. And in the Bangor area, there must have been 5 or 6 clubs going. In Aroostook County, there were clubs in Presque Isle, Houlton, Caribou, Madawaska, Fort Kent. I remember calling in Fort Kent one night, and I went down to get a drink of punch and to work my way back through the crowd after the round dance cue was done. I heard it took me a good, it seemed like 5 minutes. I was probably only 3 minutes to get back there, but these were the same group that I'd called to the Saturday night before in Madawaska, so we used to get fantastic crowds. Then for some reason, all of a sudden, it just went kapooey.
Well, that sure is different, the number of new dancers. Any suggestions?
They've tried everything. One gentleman down in Blue Hill told me one night, he said he and his wife brought in 4 squares alone for classes that year. He would go and knock on the door and tell people that had come to the meeting hall that we're going to have a square dance. His wife was waiting at the hall to greet the people and talk to them, keep them enthused till the husband got enough squares to get the club going. And they that's one of the ways that I've heard. They did have a good crowd that year. But as far as we've tried everything, you try doing promotions. We danced, the Levi Rounders danced in the Bangor Mall, and we didn't pick up anybody out of it. It's hard. I don't know the answer. I wish I did.
Oftentimes I hear you speak positively about Collar Lab. So what was your first impression, and what's your impression of Collar Lab today?
Collar Lab standardized the levels of dancing. I remember Pat and I going to Old Town, Maine, to dance to a caller by the name of Lee Spaulding. And back then, the third tip of the night was considered by all the clubs as a workshop tip. And that's where we learned the call Spin Chain Through, which is now in the mainstream program. But you used to, now any, that call stayed, but you could get anything from any position on that third tip of the evening, and you may never hear it again. Now with Collar Lab, you have basic number 1 through 50 that makes up the basic program. You have basic call number 51 through 68, which makes up the mainstream. And then you go to plus, then you go to A1, then you go to A2. They're all defined. If you know if you're going to an A2 dance, you're going to hear A2 calls. You're not going to hear C1 calls. You're not going to hear C2 calls. You're going to hear A2 calls. And the combination between A1 and A2, they tried to decide that we'll make it all one. I'm glad that they left it at A1 and A2, so because people wouldn't have so much to learn right off quick. You learn A1, you dance it for a while, and then you can move on to A2. And whatever you feel like you want to be challenged more, there's always something that you can move on to. But the Collar Lab has really done a fantastic job at straightening out the levels. Another big thing they did was when BMI and ASCAP decided that callers needed licenses to call. They stepped out and made it easy for us to get our license. They've really, really done a fantastic job to help square dancing.
Going back to when you first started, you've been calling for nearly 40 years. Who were some of the people that were your peers then when you first started out?
Of course, Pat was my biggest peer. She told me when I was doing something wrong.
Pat's your wife.
Pat, my wife, yes. Bonnie Robichaud, of course. There was a lady from, I don't remember her name, I was calling at the bandstand in Millinocket, and she came up to me, she said, "You're going to be good." I don't remember the lady's name, I'm sure she's no longer with us, because that was, God, 30 years ago, but she said, "You sound like you're going to be good," and I thanked her. Betty Bates would never criticize me in front of a crowd. She's come over to me, and she's, after I taught it, she'd say, "I think this is the way the call goes. I think you left something out or put something in," and I would look it up, and sure enough, she was right. Anybody I talked to, like last week, I was calling a call wrong, and my friend asked me about it, and I looked it up, and sure enough, I was wrong. And this is after nearly 40 years of calling. But we're not all perfect. We do make mistakes, but we can think about it, talk about it, and come up with the right answer if we take our time and don't get flustered.
What was your first club?
Paper Mate Square Dance Club in East Malaga.
As your popularity increased, how many clubs were you calling for during the peak years?
We would call for most of the clubs in the area at least twice a year, and there was some clubs that I was teaching. I was teaching as many as four classes a year during the peak years. A week, yes, a week.
Your furthest distance you traveled for a one-nighter?
For a one-nighter, it would have to be Burlington, Vermont. It's an 8-hour drive one way.
Did you have any limits on distance?
Usually, I worked a schedule that I had a long weekend every fourth weekend, and we'd take the long ones and do those then. Rest of the time, I've gotten home at 2 o'clock, 2:30, quarter 3 in the morning, and have to get up at 5 to go to work. I've done that many times while I was still working.
Any special train or cruise dances?
I never went on a train, but we did do the Grandeur of the Sea, which is a Royal Caribbean ship. We sailed out of Port of Miami. We went to San Juan, Puerto Rico, to St. Thomas and the Virgin Islands, Coco Cay, which is off Bermuda. I called and danced four dances on that cruise ship. I thought I was in seventh heaven. That's the way to be. I've called in Grange halls, in church halls, in high schools, called in people's garages. But the first time that I set up and called on that cruise ship, I thought this was it. I made it. It was fantastic.
You are a regular. Start again. You're a regular at the New England Convention. What was the first year that you called there?
1986 in Portland.
Any convention stands out that was memorable?
Probably the convention that we worked in Bangor, where I was the sound chairman. Being involved in the convention really made it fun. It made it like we really did a good job on that convention, I think. And I enjoyed working.
Switching gears here, have you ever called a round or a contra dance?
I called one round Frenchie Brown one night, and I tried one contra in Holton, and didn't go good, and I never called one since.
Why did you pick Frenchie Brown?
It's the first one we learned is from taking lessons, and I knew it by heart, so I could cue it. So.
What caller organizations do you belong to?
I belong to Northeast Caller Teachers Association. It's an association located in this area. We also are a member of NECA, New England Council of Callers Associations. And NECA is the one, along with two other groups, that put on the New England Conventions.
Any positions you've held within the Northeast?
I've been program chairman. I'm now the treasurer and the spokesperson for the group.
Any suggestions for other caller organizations?
They should do their best to let the dancers in the area know that they are a group of callers and they're willing to help. And anything that the dancers need, we're more or less the authority as far as square dancing goes. We know what they should do. What we don't seem to know is how to get people there. That's the biggest thing. If you could start out in the fall with or in January when they start the second class, if you could start out with four or five squares, you'd be right in heaven.
Well, now we get to the fun part. Any funny stories you'd like to share? Any embarrassing stories?
Reg Elbin and I, a good friend of mine who was originally from Limestone, Maine. We called it Sunrise Shores Square Dance Campground in Eastern Maine, down on Passamaquoddy Bay. We'd call for weekends there. On Saturday night, we'd dress up and do a skit. We've done everything from being babies to Indians, girls. We got married one time. He buried me one time. We were calling one time, and they wrapped us up, and they put us back to back and wrapped us up in toilet paper.
Oh, my goodness.
And I told them, I said, we're calling away, but I said, I don't hear anybody dancing out there. I think they've all left. I think we're just standing here like a couple of fools wrapped up in toilet paper and talking, and nothing's going.
That would have been a sight to see. Any other stories?
Yeah, I did. Reggie and his wife Gloria ran a square dance shop in Limestone, and he had a couple of Western suits. He really looked good. He's a good-looking guy. He looked good in his suits, and he always presented himself as the best-dressed square dance caller in Aroostook County. So I was calling with him on a Thanksgiving night, and I have a full-length tuxedo. So I got all dressed up. After he got started, he started calling the first tip. I ran down and changed. I went up just as he was about ready to start his singing call. I took the mic away from him and I said, you used to be the best dressed square dance caller in Aroostook County. I said, I have just taken over your slot. And he went over and sat down in a chair and almost cried. He was laughing so hard.
Well, Jim, nearly 40 years is an outstanding milestone, one that few have achieved as a caller. You looking at achieving 50?
I'd like to. I told Hilly Bailey one time. I said, I'm not quitting calling. In fact, I said, when I go, I said, I'm going to take my equipment with me to the grave. And he said, you better take asbestos records where you're going.
Well, dancing with you, I notice you play Jose a lot. It's a popular record. It's been remade. I believe it's one of your favorites. Is that true?
Yeah, I like Jose. I like a record with a good beat. And I pick out a lot of singing calls that are ballads. And they're good to sing to, but they're not what the dancers want. They want lively records. And so I try to incorporate some lively ones in. I don't have any that I would say are my favorite. Anything I pick up that I like is good.
Any singing calls stand out that is a winner?
Oh, I like New York is a good one.
Any reason for a New York?
Yeah, I'm kind of favorite with the Yankees, but they kind of let me down the last couple of seasons.
No bounce back. Any special memories you'd like to share? Anything that just pops into your head?
I remember one time we were asked by the president of the club to go to the Eastern Maine Medical Center to dance entertainment-wise for some folks who were in wheelchairs. And when we got them out there, I don't know if the president decided that they put the wheelchair dance people in squares. Some of them could not move. And they would walk them through the squares, as I call them, in their wheelchairs. And I put them in a big circle and did the right and left grand, and the people are weave the ring or whatever. And the dancers would do the same with the wheelchairs, and you could see the smile on their faces, and kind of get you. To think that you're going to walk out of there that afternoon and put your stuff in your car and go home, and those people are going to be in their wheelchairs for the rest of their life. Another thing was when the Levi Rounders honored me for calling for 38 years. They had quite a session. I didn't know what was coming on. I was supposed to call a dance with a friend of mine from New Brunswick, Canada, Ronnie Lowe, and I had no idea that they were having a celebration for me. It was nice. It was really nice.
What are your thoughts on square dancing's future?
I'm worried that if we don't do something soon, the square dancing in the state of Maine is going to be non-existent. There's only one club that's really, really, well, maybe two. But the biggest club that's doing anything at all is the Sage Swingers in Brunswick, and they're really working hard. But some of the other clubs are working hard, but it's just not happening for them. For instance, I used to call every Saturday night. Now I've got one, maybe two dances a month. And after a while, you're not going to make enough money calling to pay for your license. So.
Anything you would do if you were a king of the square dancing world?
I'd be able to say everybody would go out and say, you, and you, come on and square dance, and they'd love it, right? If you could get them there, and it'd be fantastic to see a square with. I called in Holton many, many years ago at a class night, and I had a big circle. You know, the circle was so big it wouldn't fit in the hall. So I had to say to the gentlemen, those of you that have birthdays in January, February, March, move into the center and make a center circle. And we had two circles going for classes. That first sign up, that was fantastic. If you could get two squares now, you'd say, geez, that's fantastic.
Any regrets since you started? Anything you wish you could have done differently?
I wish I could have raised my kids and called square dancing at the same time, but I've been calling, and I was busy. I was working in the mill and calling almost every night of the week. Before I knew it, my two oldest girls were graduating, and I missed a lot. We now have five grandchildren, and I don't intend to miss anything. They have track, I'm there. If they have soccer, I'm there. If they have Little League baseball, I'm there. I missed our five children growing up. I'm not going to miss the grandchildren.
Sounds like you're pretty active with your family now.
Yeah, you got to be, yeah.
Well, Jim, it was an honor to interview you this evening. I can easily speak for the thousands that have danced to you. You are one of the best. This tape will go into the archives of the Square Dance Foundation of New England, and it's going to be accessed by hundreds of dancers, aspiring callers, and folk dance research for many, many centuries to come. And I thank you.
Thank you, Joseph.